The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is how the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand, and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I said, it's a great delight for me to be here at St. Helens this morning. Let me begin by saying how appreciative I am for all of your hard work, and it has been hard work, in this parish throughout this pandemic. It has been such a difficult time for all of us, and that sort of constant flipping back and forth as to how we can worship has been difficult, to say the least, and of course, stressful. Thankfully, we seem to be at a place now where we can be a little bit more consistent in how we worship and how we can gather. I'm grateful for the ministry of your now retired rector, Stephen. He did great work amongst you and was, of course, a great pastor and a priest. And now, as you in this interim period, I am also, of course, very appreciative, and I'm sure that you are as well, for the work of Philippa amongst you. She has so many talents as a priest, and particularly in these interim periods, has a great skill in giving leadership and guidance, bringing clarity to the process, and of course for future planning. And she has this wicked sense of humor that you may not have noticed, I'm sure, but it is great to have her here, and it is good to be with you here this morning. Yeah, good idea. So maybe it is just me and my age and my stage in life, but for me, Holy Week suddenly feels like a very long time ago. It seems like an eternity since we were waving our palm crosses and shouting Hosanna. It seems like ages since we heard those words of crucify on Good Friday. And even those cries of I have seen the Lord on Easter morning seem perhaps just a distant memory now. The bunnies have all but hopped away. The bonnets are back on their top shelf of the closet. The chocolate eggs have been reduced to foil wrapping, and the lilies are starting to really show their age. Despite the presence of the COVID pandemic, which of course is still known to us, many of us are trying to return to normal life. We are trying to get back to the more usual routines. And so with Easter behind us, we look to fill our days with those things that have always kept us busy. So we're starting to get our gardens into shape. We're cheering on our favorite sports team. We're making plans with family and friends. Sadly, we continue to watch with horror the events of the war in Ukraine and other places of conflict in this world, and so many other heartbreaking stories on our newsfeed. Many of us are at work fulfilling our different callings in life. Maybe we just got our taxes done. Despite Easter, we're just trying to get back to normal. And who can blame us? The disciples, when we caught up with them in the gospel for today, were doing the very same thing. Mary had seen Jesus in the garden. I have seen the Lord, she ran to tell the other disciples. Last week we heard that Jesus appeared to his closest followers gathered in a locked room. Even Thomas was satisfied that he had seen Jesus as he said, my Lord and my God. They had seen it all, witnessed incredible things. They could almost taste the presence and the grace of God. And one would think that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and that they would be almost bursting with a vision of resurrection and a calling to new life. You would think that at least they would be plotting where they go from here, how to tell others of the resurrection. You might think that they would now have set to work on forming some sort of parish council meeting or financial campaign or at least a good church bazaar. You might think that they would start to preach the gospel of the good news of God's love to anyone willing to listen. That the words of peace be with you that Jesus spoke to them would radiate from them, fill the room in which they occupied. We expect this, even want this for them, for they were the first witnesses. Christ is risen. But instead they went back to what they had always done. They went back to what was well known to those fisher folk. Many of them got into a boat and they cast out their net. I'm sure they did not really care if they caught anything. They just wanted life to feel normal. They had witnessed almost too much to take in. They probably needed time to process it, to make sense of it, to let it fill their soul. They went back to what they were doing when they first met Jesus. And once again, Jesus comes among them. Once again, Jesus comes among them in the ordinariness of life. Once again, the risen Christ is in their midst. Once again, the presence of Jesus broke into their lives. As they went about their work and their day-to-day occupations, Jesus broke in. As the disciples tried to simply go back to their old life, they discovered that they could not, nor could they ever. They had been witnesses to something that had changed them forever. They had seen with their eyes that God's love is vast and eternal. God had shattered all their thinking about the holy. And even though they went back to work, they were not the same. Jesus kept coming to them, just as Jesus keeps coming to us. Holy Week and Easter Day is over, and maybe we are trying to get back to all that fills our day. But it cannot simply be back to normal for us either. How do we see the presence of Jesus in the here and now of today? How is our faith relevant to how we live each day? How does our faith in the risen Christ affect us, change us, challenge us, cause us to ponder more carefully who we are and what we are called to do? How do we live into being Easter people? Let me offer three totally different and unrelated places where Christ may be known. One of the great privileges I have had as a clergy person has been to enter into pastoral situations that are filled with grief and sadness and fear and concern and lots of unknown about the future. Not all that long ago, I was on call at BC Children's Hospital and asked to go and visit with a family. They'd been given some devastating news, and they didn't know where to turn or what to do. I came into the room to the sounds of anguish crying. I sat down and we talked. We talked about what was going on. We talked about the future. We talked about the past. We talked about God and about prayer and about the presence of the resurrected Christ. We talked for a long time. And at some point in our conversation, there was this sense of peace that came into the room. A peace not of contentment about what was taking place, but a peace that we were not alone. That God was known. That holiness was felt, that the risen Jesus was not just known in an ancient book of long ago, but in that current moment where grace and love and hope needed to be felt and known and seen. And it was. Richard Rohr writes this. He says, "Your life is not about you. You are about a larger thing called life. you are not your own. You are an instance of a universal and eternal pattern. Life is living itself in you. The myriad forms of life in the universe are merely parts of the one life that many of us call God. He said, you and I don't have to figure it all out, fix everything, or do life perfectly by ourselves. All we have to do is to participate in this one life, to find our unique niche in that always larger life is what we mean by the word vocation. And I would add, to discover in this life the presence of the risen Christ. When Jesus met with the fishing disciples in the gospel passage for this morning, he offered them some bread and some fish. The same as what he offered about 5,000 of them on a different occasion. Bread and fish, meant to be more than the obvious, but in fact signs of God's blessing, of God's grace, of God's abundant love. And each week we come together as a community and continue to share in this same bread, if you will. It could be something that we simply do because we're told that we should. It could be a mere routine kept going for the sake of tradition. But something happens at communion that we can never quite fully understand. It's a holy moment. As people stretch out their hands to receive the bread, it's a holy moment. As everyone who comes forward, rich and poor, strong and weak, old and young, shy and outspoken, questioning and calm-spirited, all come forward to receive this same bread. It's offered to all. It's a sign that God's love is larger than our minds could ever comprehend. It's a sign that we can discover the holy even in our midst. It's a sign that each time we share that bread, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is in our midst too. Perhaps you too have noticed those moments where the resurrected Christ comes to you, continues to come to you. Perhaps at the bedside in a hospital. Perhaps at those moments where you know a deep peace and that the giver of life is connected to your life. Perhaps when at communion you too received that same bread that those fishing disciples received on that beach long, long ago. Perhaps at those moments where you hear Jesus asking you, as he asked Peter long ago, do you love me? When we discover this presence, this peace, this hope in our heart and mind and our soul, it changes us. We cannot be the same, for our lives are changed. Our faith is changed. Our entire vision of our priorities is changed. We suddenly know the impact of his final words to Peter and to all of the disciples in the gospel of today. As Jesus said, follow me. For Easter affects our vision of how we see this world and what we will follow. And we suddenly notice that life is alive with the holy presence of this resurrected and eternal one, inviting us to live.